Hello. Welcome back to Magic Woods. This story is about where Magic Woods came from and where the pumpkin and Mama came from and a whole bunch of other things. It's called The Wizard's Tale. And it's the story that Xanadu, the wizard who knew basically everything about Magic Woods, told to Kitty and her friends in the Hoplopter on their way to the edge of the world. So first the wizard said, "In the beginning, there was only Etheria, the dream world, what you call the Weird Lands. All kinds of things would randomly appear there, beings, places, objects, but nothing ever lasted very long. Everything swirled and changed into something else. But then, one day, a small woman with wings named Mandalako appeared in the Weird Lands, and before she vanished away or turned into something else, she realized that she knew the word that could create a world. So she said the word, and that's how she created Magic Woods. And once she created Magic Woods, she decided to change her form. She took a form without wings because she wanted to explore this new world on foot and walk around. So she transformed herself into a being with no wings, and she also made herself into a boy. And then he set out to explore the world he had created. And he did that for many years, walking through magic woods and exploring. But after a while, Mandalako got lonely, so he decided to create some little people like him. Most of the girls had wings, and most of the boys didn't. And because they looked like the two different versions of himself, he called them Mimis. You know, me and me. Well, Mandalako lived among the Mimis for many, many years. But eventually he grew weary of living among them. He had been alive for many, many years at this point, remember. So he told the Mimis he would be leaving to do something else. But they didn't want him to leave. "Who will take care of us?" they cried. "Who will create new things?" Mandalako felt pity for them, so he decided to gift them some of his powers. He created two crowns out of space silver and space crystal, and he put the power of creation in one crown, and the power to give life in the other crown. And then he went on his way and was never seen again. Nobody knew where Mandalako went. Some said that he journeyed out into the Weird Lands to create other worlds. Others claimed that he would transform himself into many different things in the natural world, like a fern, say, or a badger, or a ray of sunshine, so that he could experience the world he had created in a million different ways. Who knows? Well, after Mandalako left, the Mimis ruled themselves, and they lived in peace and harmony for a long time. They lived a long time. 7 of our years is like 1 of theirs. And they rarely got ill. They always had 2 rulers, 2 kings, 2 queens, or a king and a queen. And every 7 years, on dark early eve, the crown of creation and the crown of life would choose their wearers for the next 7 years. The light inside each crystal would glow brighter in front of the right Mimi. And then one person, one Mimi, would wear the crown of creation for the next 7 years, while the other one would wear the crown of life. Well, most of the kings and queens used the crowns wisely, but sometimes there were bad rulers. Once, a Mimi king named Korvad was chosen to wear the crown of creation. And at first, Korvad was a good king. He created many wondrous things for his people. But he was old, and he knew he would die soon. And he didn't want to die. He wanted to live forever, or at least be remembered forever. So as the end of his time with the crown drew near, Korvad, the Crimson King, decided he wanted to be remembered for something. So he set about creating a gigantic tower, one that could reach to the very heavens, that would stand as his legacy, and so would he be remembered for all time. But his real goal was to reach the fabled forest in the sky, a land of eternal life. Little did he know that the forest in the sky couldn't be reached that way, no matter how high he built his tower. He worked on the tower for years. It reached past the sky, into the heavens, but of course it could never reach the forest in the sky. And at last the tower proved too heavy to sit upon the earth, and it collapsed and created a gigantic hole in the ground. King Korvad died in the collapse of the tower. And as he died, the magical stones of the fallen tower melted away, leaving only a deep black hole behind. That's where the big black hole in the ground came from. Another time, there was a king who had the crown of life who didn't use it very wisely. His name was Rendon. Rendon would sometimes bring things to life for fun. And one Halloween, which is the one night a year that dead Mimis could come back to life, King Rendon brought a jack-o'-lantern to life to entertain people at the Halloween bonfire. And the pumpkin said, "What is this place? Who am I? Why am I alive?" And the king said, "You're just a jack-o'-lantern, and I gave you life. You're welcome." The pumpkin looked up and said, "What are those bright spots in the sky?" The king said, "They're called stars." The pumpkin looked at the bonfire and said, "What is that over there that is bright and burning?" "It's called a fire." "Who are all these little people dancing around and laughing and having fun?" They're called Mimis." "You certainly have a lot of questions, Mr. Pumpkin." "Ooh, is that my name, Mr. Pumpkin?" The king said, "No, you don't really have a name. You're just a decoration I brought to life. But since you're a jack-o'-lantern, I suppose you could take the name Colan, like Jack-o'-lantern." The pumpkin said, "Thank you for naming me." And he was so grateful to be alive. But he was basically just a Halloween decoration meant to entertain and scare people. And the next day, when Halloween was over, the pumpkin saw the king and said, "Now what do I do?" The king said, "Huh? Oh, you. I don't know." He was really starting to regret bringing this annoyingly inquisitive pumpkin to life. The pumpkin said, "Could you teach me about the world?" The king said, "No, not really. I don't have time." The pumpkin said, "Oh, okay, so I guess I'll just sit here." And the pumpkin just sat there for a few days. He tried talking to Mimis as they walked by, but few of them bothered to speak with him. He felt lonely. And then he started to rot. He said, "What's happening to me? Why am I falling apart? Can somebody help me?" And then a kind-hearted Mimi girl named Kelma was walking by, and she took pity on him. She said, "What's wrong, Pumpkin?" He said, "I'm collapsing, and there's weird molds growing on me." Kelma said, "Yeah, you're rotting. That's what happens to pumpkins in the fall." The pumpkin said, "But I don't want to die." Kelma said, "Well, that's just what happens. That's life. We're born, we live a little, and then we die." The pumpkin said, "But why do things have to die?" Kelma said, "I don't know. I guess it's part of the life cycle or something." The pumpkin started to cry, and Kelma said, "Wait a minute. I have an idea. Next Halloween, I can bring you back to life." The pumpkin said, "What? Really?" "Yes." Well, after a few more days, the pumpkin rotted away completely and died. Kelma was with him right until the end. And next Halloween, Kelma brought him back to life. As soon as the sun went down, she said, "Colan." And all of a sudden, the pumpkin appeared. He was bright orange again, vibrant and strong. He said, "Thank you." Kelma said, "You're welcome." But then the pumpkin became sad again. He said, "But I'm just going to rot away again, aren't I?" Kelma said, actually not this time. You only get to be alive for one night." "What? I only get one night to be back alive? Can somebody teach me about the world, quick?" Kelma said, I can't teach you about the whole world in one night, but I'll go get you some books and read them to you." So Kelma read him a couple of stories that night, and then he faded away with the rising of the sun, just like all the other dead Mimis. Well, Kelma brought him back alive the following year, and she read him even more stories. And every year after that, she brought him back to life, and slowly she taught him to read. He read books of magic. He learned how to move things with his mind and how to make the ground underneath him move so it could carry him along. He learned about Lavamuk, the spirit of discontent who lives in the center of the earth. He learned some dark magic, how to turn things to stone, how to transform your enemies, how to enchant pricker bushes so that no one could escape. He didn't want to use the dark magic, of course, but he wanted to know it just in case he ever needed it. And over hundreds of years, he grew smarter and smarter and stronger, slowly, one Halloween night at a time. But at last there came a time when Kelma was very old. And one Halloween, she said to the pumpkin, "I might not be alive next year to bring you back to life." The pumpkin said, "No, you can't die. I will miss you too much. And who will bring me back to life next year?" Kelma bowed her head. I'm sorry, my old friend. I can see if I can find someone. But most of the other Mimis were a little bit afraid of this weird pumpkin who came back every year, so it seemed unlikely any of them would want to bring him back to life. And the pumpkin said, "What will happen to you, Kelma?" Kelma said, "I don't know. I just know that it's my time. I've had a happy life, and soon it will be time for me to go." Well, Kelma died a few weeks later, and so the next year, there was nobody to bring the pumpkin back to life. And nobody called his name the next year, or the next year, or the year after that. He had been forgotten. But then, many, many, many years later, there was a Mimi named Novan who was chosen by the Crown of Creation, and his wife, Emira, was chosen to wear the Crown of Life. They had two children, a young daughter named Era and a baby boy named Pokey. Novan and Emira were like the Mimi rulers of old, kind-hearted, wise, and generous. But there was a Mimi named Versa who was jealous of them. "I wanted to wear a crown," she said. And on Halloween night, the older Mimis sent their children away to the lakeside city of Atisket for the night. Era and Pokey went to stay with their aunt and uncle. And then the Red King and the Green Queen and many other adults had the annual party to bring back the dead. And Versa, who liked to read old and forbidden texts, had learned about the mysterious pumpkin who had been brought back to life for many years and had learned so much magic and lore. She said it would be fun to bring him back alive for the night. So when the sun went down, Versa said, "Colan," and the pumpkin came back to life. He looked around and said, "What year is it? Where is Kelma?" And Versa said, she's been dead for a long time." The pumpkin said Kelma's name again, but she did not appear. Versa said, "Ugh, are you trying to bring her back to life? You're dead, and the dead can't bring the dead back. Only the living can do that." The pumpkin said, "Could you please say Kelma's name to bring her back to life, please?" Versa said, "Nah, I thought you were supposed to be wise and powerful, but you just seem kind of, boring." The pumpkin was hurt and angry. He never wanted to be at the mercy of others again. He used some of the dark magic he had learned and called upon the power of Lavamuk. He uttered a spell that froze himself and all the Mimis around him in time so that it would always be Halloween and he could always be alive. Some Mimis noticed right away. They said, "Why did the wind stop blowing? Why don't the stars twinkle?" Versa pointed at the pumpkin and said, "It's got to be him!" And the Mimis ran at the pumpkin with weapons. "Yeah!" But he shot pumpkin seeds out of his mouth and turned them all to stone. And then he turned the power of the crowns against their wearers. "Ah!" And he transformed the Green Queen and the Red King into ropes, twisted, servile creatures that were forced to do his bidding. The crowns fell off their heads and flew through the air and into the pumpkin's body. And then Colan, the pumpkin of Magic Woods, believed he would live forever. He had both crowns, and it was always Halloween, and his ropes could bring him back to life if anyone ever killed him just by saying his name. Well, Pokey and Era, meanwhile, were safe. Like most Mimi children, they had spent Halloween night with friends and family in the lakeside city of Atisket. Of course, Era wondered where her parents had gone. In fact, everyone wondered what had happened to all those Mimis who had been at the Halloween festival. But they had no way of knowing that the pumpkin had come back to life and had frozen the grown-ups in time with him. The pumpkin, meanwhile, began to worry that maybe his plan to live forever wouldn't work. What if someone found a way to travel to his time and kill him? He needed to know for sure, so he used the crowns to create a wizard, me, who could answer every question about Magic Woods. And the pumpkin asked the wizard if he, the pumpkin, would ever die. And the wizard said, "Yeah, one day three talking animals from another time will defeat you." The pumpkin grew very angry. "What? How is that even possible?" And the wizard said, "They will be helped by the most beautiful and powerful goddess in the universe." The pumpkin didn't like that answer, so he threw the wizard into the dungeons. The wizard knew how to escape, of course. He knew basically everything about Magic Woods. But he didn't want to escape. What would be the point? He already knew everything that would ever happen in Magic Woods, so nothing could ever surprise him. It was a pretty sad way to live, so he just stayed asleep. Dreams, at least, remained mysterious and unknowable to him. He just wanted to dream all the time. The pumpkin didn't know how to stop these mysterious talking animals from coming to kill him. but then he thought that maybe he could trap the goddess who was supposed to help them. But he didn't know where she could be found. He had never even heard of such a goddess. But then he came up with what he thought was a great idea. He would create a new being to be the most beautiful, powerful goddess in the universe, and he would keep her imprisoned inside his castle dungeons. But of course, the wizard, me, had tricked him. There was no such goddess already. The pumpkin just created her. So I tricked the pumpkin into creating his most powerful enemy. The pumpkin created this goddess, who was later called Mamma. But Mamma was too powerful to be contained. She burst right out of his dungeons, creating a huge hole in the side of his castle. And then she flew up to the forest in the sky, a land of peace and eternal life. The pumpkin was furious. He planned to use the crowns to create an evil army and horrible weapons to destroy Mamma. But that would have led to a tedious and destructive conflict, so I simply took the crowns away from him. Then I went into an ancient tower that was made out of moonlight, and I stayed up there to sleep and dream, and I put a spell on the tower so the pumpkin and the ropes couldn't get in. Now, Mamma gradually became aware of the many Mimis who had been turned to stone by the pumpkin, and she wept for them, and her tears fell upon them and washed away the power of stone and brought them back to life. And after that, all the waters of Magic Woods contained some of her magic tears. Mamma lifted those Mimis to the forest in the sky. Even Versa came, for Mamma did not know that Versa was evil. And the Mimis were happy and safe up in the forest in the sky. But Versa grew restless. She pretended to be kind and became Mamma's best friend, but secretly she wanted to destroy Mamma and take her power. She was obsessed with Mamma. She loved her and she hated her. One day she wanted to catch a glimpse of Mamma's true face, so she snuck to Mamma's room and peeked through the door. Mamma's back was turned, but then the door creaked, and Mamma turned around slowly. And Versa caught a brief glimpse of Mamma's true face. It drove her mad. Her eyes were blasted white and her hair went wild and her mind became unhinged. She tried to kill Mamma right then. Mamma had no choice but to cast Versa out of the forest in the sky. Well, Versa was consumed by anger and thoughts of revenge. She became obsessed with taking Mamma's place and becoming the most beautiful and powerful goddess in the universe herself. But she didn't know how she would do it. She wandered the pumpkin's version of Magic Woods for a season, raving in the wilderness. But gradually, her eyesight returned and she tamed her mind a bit. She made her way to the tower where I was sleeping, and there she found the crowns, and she took them from me while I was dreaming, and she decided to go to the regular version of Magic Woods, where time had marched on and it wasn't always Halloween, so she could become an all-powerful goddess whom people would fear and worship. But as she flew across the threshold between times, the crown of life slipped from her grasp and fell to the ground. She didn't know it, but it landed in a place in Westland, a little valley. And after that, the valley stayed green and vibrant all year long because of the power of the crown of life. And Versa never got that crown back. It was lost to her forever. But she still held the crown of creation. She remained very powerful. She appeared to the Mimis of Atisket and demanded that they worship her. And when they refused, she attacked the city and laid it waste. Era and Pokey managed to escape. Era carried her baby brother west across a huge lake, hoping to reach a Mimi city called Atasket on the other side. But Versa had already destroyed that city with the help of some oak tree stick people she had forced onto her side. Era and Pokey came there and saw that the city was destroyed, and they realized they were the last Mimis left on Earth. Era wasn't sure if she could keep her little brother safe for much longer. She was only a little girl, after all. So she brought him inside the Red Mountain known as Midnight Barbecue, and there she placed her baby brother in the care of a young couple named Tigum and Texas Tommy, and they adopted him. And then Era went outside to try to find a way to defeat Versa once and for all. But she couldn't find help anywhere in Magic Woods, no matter how hard she tried. She searched for help for years and years, and at last she began to despair. She had lost her parents, her people, everything, and she was all alone. Eventually, she tried to go back into Midnight Barbecue to get her brother, but she found the mountain locked. She couldn't get in. Obviously, this was because Versa had taken over the mountain, and she told everyone who lived there that she was Mama and made them worship her. At last, Era just gave up. She lay down in a valley near a spring, Spring Valley, and fell into an enchanted sleep, vowing not to wake until the world was mended. And with her final breath, she made a wish that a hero, or heroes, would come to save the world, defeat evil, and allow her family to be reunited. Well, Era's final breath, her wish, turned into a warm breeze that traveled across the lake and through the woods. It blew down Everlasting Road and came to a field. And there the wind lifted three animals into the air and brought them to the pumpkin's world, where they began a long journey towards ridding the world of evil and bringing Era's family back together, making her wish come true. Those three animals, of course, were named Kitty, Doggy, and Bunny. Well, that's the end of the wizard's tale about where Magic Woods came from. That is the last story about Magic Woods. But that doesn't mean it's the last story about Kitty, Doggy, Bunny, and Myrrh and their friends. Maybe you can imagine some adventures they have in the new world they created. I'd love to hear them someday. Goodbye, and thank you.